The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Just laid back and enjoyed another taping there of Need to Know with Kip Kiefer. Of course, sure you can hear at least 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Of course, here on our YouTube channel, where you can see him on the left side, I'm on the right side. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show, another show that I asked Kip, I said, I want to do a show with you. We've both been doing radio for 40 years. We're both about the same age. We both have children. We've both been through divorces. And I just think we'd have some fascinating talk. And so if you go back and listen to some of our archive stuff, we've talked everything from politics to our children, to our mothers, to relationships, to everything else. And I listen to your show sometimes and it gives me ideas. And I wanted to share something with you because I heard you on Need to Know talking about your boys. And
my man now.
Yes. So you have a 37 and a 32. I have one that's going to turn 20 in October. I have a 17-year-old who's got special needs. So cognitively speaking, he's about a 7 or 8 year old. And then I have a 12-year-old daughter who is like the most amazing thing that I've ever been blessed with.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I've met Tony's daughter. She is ahead of her time. She is an impressive kid.
So we're in carpool last week. On my week, and we're driving out, and I hadn't picked up my son yet, and she says, seventh grade's kind of crazy. And I said, yeah, how's that? And my daughter, thank God, she feels so comfortable talking to me about anything. I mean, talks about gay children. She talks, you name it. She's asked me questions like, what would happen if there were no men on Earth? Which I can't imagine where the hell she's getting that question from. Probably when she's over at her mother's. But she asked me these questions and I'm just like, where is she getting this stuff? And again, you know, she's telling me about, you know, her period. Girls are so much. I mean, she's 12. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, girls didn't have periods when they were 12. It was 15, 16, 17. I mean, and all of a sudden these girls, she's like, half my class has already had their period. I'm like, really? I said, you're 12 years old. You know,
that's
and that is
scary.
That is women. That is a woman. There's a girl turning into a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she's telling me about having to take human anatomy. And she's like, it's so dumb. And I said, have you had the birds and the bees talk with your mom yet? And she said, well, but I don't really think she explained it really well. And I said, okay. And she said, well, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, yeah. And she said, did you ever have sex with anyone before you met mom? And I was like, wow, where is that coming from? And I just kind of sat there and I said, well, first of all, thank you very much for asking me the question. I am so happy that you feel so comfortable around your dad that you'd be able to ask that question, because I would never be able to ask my mom or dad that question.
Oh, hell no.
They would have.
My dad, yes. My mother, not in a million years.
And I said, honey, I said, I love you. If you want me to explain to you what sex is all about and how it works, I said, I'd be more than happy to tell you. I said, but, you know, I was kind of hoping your mother would kind of take the reins. And I think the father should do the sons, and I think the mother should do the daughters.
Yeah.
That's the way I am.
Yeah.
It's much easier because we have the same anatomy. We have the same body parts. We have the same feelings. And I said, I don't really feel comfortable answering that question. I said, but one day you'll understand. And I said, but thank you for asking. And she goes, well, can I ask you another question? And I said, sure. She goes, well, do you think mom had sex with anyone before she met you? And I know something about her mother that she doesn't know. And that is that my ex was married before we met.
Oh,
and I don't think my kids are going to be watching the show, so I don't think it really matters. And I don't think she's told them.
Why was that a secret? I'm confused.
I don't know. I don't know. And I at some point she said, please don't tell them. And I said, I won't. And if I haven't told them now, they'll have to learn on their own.
Yeah.
But it almost came out, well, gosh, I hope she's had sex before she met me because she was married.
Well,
I caught myself and said, I said, I don't know. I said, you'll have to ask her that question. And she said, mom, no, I'm not asking mom that question. I said, why? She goes, oh my gosh, she will lose it. And I said, really? And she goes, oh yeah. And I said, okay, well, All right. And I said, well, why do you ask that question? She goes, I don't know. I just was wondering, you know, why, you know, and I just, again, at the age of 12, I mean, if she was 15, 16, 17, that would be like, wow, where'd that come from? And she's 12. And I just love the fact that she's so advanced, and kids are so much more advanced now than they were during our time.
Such a different world with all the
information
that's available. I knew nothing. I mean, I knew
nothing. Thank God.
In high school, I was clueless.
Thank God for a kid named Joey Mulberg. Joey Mulberg.
Mark Random, who you've met.
Joey Mulberg lived behind me. He was 3 years older than I was. He got me my first job at Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was 17. I was 15. And he taught me everything there were to know about women. My brother, Jeff, who's about 7 or 8 years older than I am, he threw a couple things at me, but really didn't sit me down. He just was like, you getting laid yet? You know, when I was like 15 or 16, I was in Catholics. I was going to Catholic dances, you know, and holding hands. And we were singing England Jan and John Ford Coley songs all weekend at St. Mark's downtown. You know, I wasn't getting laid. He's like, you getting laid yet? And I'm like, no, I'm 15. I think I'm good. You know? And he was, you know, I would open his underwear drawer and I'd find a Playboy in there. And, you know, he was the one that was always, but he's, you know,
if you've listened to the show in the past, Tony has told you about his Farrah Fawcett poster that he had on the top bunk, and he had it on his ceiling until his dad saw, we do not allow smut like that in the house.
That's right.
That's the famous one in her bathing suit.
That's right. That's right. It was a little newspaper thing, and I'll never forget it. So I consider myself a decent father, and I'm even going to go say
you're a very good father.
Well, thank you.
I've seen you with Xavier, your special needs son. You are unbelievable.
Well, thank you. I appreciate when people say you're doing a great job, and I appreciate when people say you're a great father. That means the world to me, because I feel like that's one of the reasons I was put on this earth.
I mean, what's more important than that?
There's nothing. And so whenever I'm questioned on that, I do get quite defensive. If you've ever been through a divorce, you probably will. But I'm always willing, and I've done this with you, off air. I've asked you questions about fathering your sons. I don't think there's any information. I will never tell someone how to parent their children, unless, of course, they're abusing them or doing something they shouldn't be doing. But I'll never tell someone how to bring up their children, how to adopt their children, how to treat their children. I won't do it because that's their. But now, if they ask me, you know, what do you think about this? Then I'm more than happy to share how I would do things. But I bring my children up. I have a lot of stuff from my father that I use that I was growing up being. My father was a person who did not take confrontation well. He was a take the high road kind of guy. And I know how it affected my life. It worked for me, and it worked for the rest of his sons and daughter. And so I've tried to use some of that, and I'm not, while I'm a disciplinarian, I tend to be silent with a big stick. It seems to work for me. I've only had to spank my children one time. I never had to spank my daughter. And it's not because I'm afraid I have to put them in a timeout or any of that crap. No, I'll go to the belt if I have to, but I've never had to. And every time I see them, I'm driving them back to see their mom. And I look at them in the eye every single week. And I'm like, thank you for being the best kids a dad could ever want. My 19-year-old son has never gotten anyone knocked up. He hasn't had any drug or alcohol problems. He gets straight A's. He's got a good heart. He responds to enforcement. He respects authority. He tells police officers, thank you for your service. He understands our military. This kid's amazing. You know, and I see these other parents with 17, 18 year olds, and I mean, they're so far gone. It's like, I don't even know what they're going to do. And this kid's just amazing. And that's why, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to further his education and get him anything he needs to be successful. My 17-year-old son, incredibly difficult to talk about because obviously cognitively he's a much different individual. And I don't know if I'll ever have he's asked me several questions about sex, about babies generally, you know, how did you and mom have a baby? You adopted me, but how did you have Lila? How did she come along? And I try to explain it to him, and if he thinks it's disgusting. And again, he's cognitively about 7 or 8 year old, but I've always felt free to ask other parents, how do you think you should go about this? And I'm wondering, because my mom was the one that taught me about the birds and the bees, and I'll tell you exactly what she said to me. I was 14 years old. I'll never forget it. She sat down with me and she said, Anthony, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to meet a woman and you're going to fall in love with her. And she's going to be the most important thing you've ever had in your life. You're going to think to yourself, I can't believe I live my life without this person. And when you marry, you're going to become one. You're going to be working together. That's what we do. It's one of the sacraments, certainly in the Catholic religion and most religions. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you and her are going to be so in love together that you're going to latch together and you're going to exchange.
Latch, that's an interesting word.
I thought it was. And you're going
very, very clever.
You're going to exchange some bodily fluids and that will create a child. And by then, you know, I was 14, so I knew about wieners, I knew about vaginas, and I knew that one wanted the other, and you know, so I kind of put two and two together. But I appreciate the fact that she tried. But I do remember her telling me how important it was that I be in love with that person. She said,
yes.
She said, it's really important. She said, there'll be nothing like having a child that you made out of making love with another individual. If sex has got to be something special, and I implore you to wait as long as possible. And I did. I was 22 years old before, you know, I lost my virginity. I woke up, I was drunk, I had a hard on, some woman was on top of me. Rhonda Baker, I'll never forget it. There's some girl from California. And I was like, and I was so disappointed in myself, but she woke up, she saw the ride was open and she said, let's go. And then of course, after that, the floodgates got open because you're like, okay, well, I got nothing to hold on to anymore. But you know, back then all we cared about was getting someone pregnant. We weren't worried about AIDS and STDs and stuff that we didn't have. We didn't have those issues.
There was a huge stigma then that doesn't exist now.
Because
that was just a gigantic scandal. Remember, Tony, even in my lifetime, they were sending high school girls who would disappear for a couple months. They'd send them to some kind of shelter or something where other girls in that condition were housed until they got out of the family way. I mean, it was a completely different attitude.
So the last week, and I wanted to throw this story that I'd love to get your thoughts, and thank you for letting me go off on this. The Hong Kong Education Bureau has produced a 70-page sex education manual for kids between 12 and 14 years of age. The New York Times reported yesterday. The booklet advises kids to avoid premarital sex and other intimate behaviors by participating in exercise and other pastimes such as badminton that draw attention away from undesirable activities. The Education Bureau is undeterred by criticism and ridicule. It says the advice will help kids cope with the various psychological and consequences of premarital sex. Meanwhile, teenagers are incorporating it into their own slang with phrases such as friends with badminton. That's funny, friends with badminton. 12 to 14 years, and I saw this, and I thought, wow. And so I am a father of a 12-year-old. I have a 17-year-old, and I'm going to have to explain to him. I don't know if I'll ever fully explain to him how it works. And I need to be really careful because he's a wonderful kid and he has been blessed. I'll put it that way. And then my oldest son, I never had a birds and the bees with my oldest son. He did meet a girl at school. And he did go as far as to tell me that he went all the way with her, which I told him, listen, Santo, I said, you know, your dad's crazy. I did rock and roll radio for a long period of time. I was Johnny, you know, Fever and Howard Stern all rolled up into one. And I said, I've been super blessed in my life. God's really protected me. I said, but there's not a whole lot I have not done in my life. I said, so if you ever have a question or you ever have a fear or you ever wonder about something, please come to me and ask me if you feel comfortable talking to your dad about whatever it is, because there's a great chance that I've done it. And I said, the only thing I haven't done is be with another man. That's the one thing I've never done and I'll never do. Not even by mistake. I haven't even been part of a threesome where I accidentally was with another dude. I said, those people can do what they want. That's fine. But that's not something I've ever been interested in. So that's nothing I want to explore or I'd ever explore. So if you got that question, go somewhere else. But anything else, anything else, drugs, alcohol, police, whatever, you can ask me about it. So he did say that he met some girl at school. She was kind of the floozy, and which is not necessarily a bad thing. He didn't tell me.
It's good to meet somebody who takes the initiative when you're kind of unsure about what you're doing.
She taught him a lot, and he told
me that's important.
He told me that he wore protection, which I was like, listen, dude, we're taught that we shouldn't have premarital sex. you hold on to it as long as you can because it's really special. I said, but no matter what, man, make sure you protect it. Just protect yourself because you don't. It'll change the trajectory of your life. And I said, you just want to go there. But I don't have a problem because that's the kind of the same way I did. I woke up and next thing you know, I had someone show me, you know, the ins and outs, pun intended. I want to know straight out, and this is probably a podcast unlike anything you'll ever do before, but how did you teach your kids and how should we teach our kids? We didn't have the internet. I just said the only porn I had was Playboy in my brother's underwear drawer. You know, he put the Playboy in the wrong drawer and I pulled it out and I was like, oh my gosh. And I can remember looking at it the first time, or I had a babysitter one time, believe it. I had a babysitter. Her name was Becky Hammack. I'll never forget it. She lived across the street. She showed me her breast one time in her garage. We were playing Truth or Dare.
Oh my goodness.
I was 12. She was 17. And she said, you want to play Truth or Dare? And she's like, you want to see my breast? And I said, sure. And that was the first time I saw breasts. I was 12 years old.
Man, lived on a good street.
I did. The garage door went up and down like 16 times that day because every time she said truth or dare, I said, oh, dare. She goes, what do you want? I said, you know what I want. So as a parent, I'm curious, how should I talk? And of course, I come from a broken home with my wife and I not making it. And I take that really seriously. And I hate that my children can't have both of us there at the same time and on the same page, but it is what it is. So we're going to make the best of it. But how did you teach your boys? How should we teach our children? Our kids can't learn about sex education in school. Can they? They shouldn't. If they have to wait till school, they're never going to make it.
I would certainly say to that I don't want somebody else teaching my kids about things that I should be responsible for explaining to them. And for so long, it was such a taboo thing. Through my entire upbringing, nobody in terms of my parents or my grandparents, who were a lot of them alive at that time, no one ever had that discussion with me when I was a teenager. So I was probably more clueless. And my dad was a wild horse. He was a hellion. He left us when I was going into the eighth grade, right at the critical time, I guess. And he left us for another woman, who was a bartender in downtown Atlanta. And so my dad was out there reliving his adolescent days at about 40. How old would he have been in 1970? About 37 years old. He started over again.
And you were about 13 or 14 years old?
Yeah, I was 12. Wow. I started eighth grade at 12 years old because, I was always like one of the youngest people in my class too. So I think that the best thing for modern day parents, because now we compete with another entity, not only the education system, but both of my sons were completely different situations because I had raised both of them, particularly my oldest son, to say, look, there is nothing on this earth you can't ask me. And it was similar to what you just said. If there's anything bothering you, if you're wondering about anything, if you're concerned about anything, scared of anything, intimidated by any situation, somebody's threatening you, I don't want you to ever, I will never think one iota less of you. Anything you ever ask me, I'm going to tell you what I think and what I think you should know. And we had that kind of relationship because it's no disrespect to my second son, who, as you know, I'm with almost constantly now. But my second son was completely different. He was always kind of independent. A first son, and I know you're experiencing this with Santo, a first son is one of the most close-knit relationships you will ever have because for so much of his life as a child, you are the absolute, and guys that don't understand or appreciate this are missing one of the greatest things ever, because you are the absolute role model, idol. I mean, you're the superhero. My son asked my wife at one point when he was 4 or 5 years old, how come I'm not named William? That's my first name. Nobody calls me William. Wow. But he says, I why did you guys not name me William like my dad and my grandfather? And Kathy says, well, you know, we just, you know, your dad doesn't even call himself William. So she actually had pencils made up for him. You remember how they had the engraved pencils with your name on it for school back when the pencil, do they still make pencils, by the way?
They do. Not, yeah. Number two, I haven't seen
one in about 50 years.
You still have
to
have them.
The bottom line is she had pencils made up with William Case Blair Kiefer, because he's Case Blair Kiefer, named after his mother's family. That was their last name. But he got like 100 pencils for school that said William Case Blair Kiefer. And he was so ecstatic to have those.
That's cool.
That's the kind of relationship I had with him. So I'll never forget this. We lived in Wichita, Kansas at the time. I was general manager of the Wichita Greyhound Park. I had come home after the races. It was about 11 or 1130. Normally we weren't real hardcore about Case was just such a responsible kid and got things done that he was supposed to do. Didn't really have a bedtime. He would stay up. The internet was just kind of blowing up at that point. But he came up at like 11 o'clock while I was making a sandwich and said, remember how you told me that I could ask you about anything? You've always told me that. And I said, yeah, absolutely. What's going on? He goes, I don't know. All the guys. And I think he was maybe at that same stage, right about eighth grade, 12, 13 years old. And he said, a lot of the guys are acting like they know all about, you know, things like you do with girls. And he says, and I just nod and act like I know what they're talking about, but can you help me with that a little bit? And wow, just so I don't feel so stupid and don't embarrass myself. And he probably didn't use that exact language, but something to that effect. And we stood there against the kitchen counter for over an hour, and I would tell him things and he would ask follow-up questions. And by the time he walked away, you could just tell he was like, okay, now I know what the deal is. I mean, it was really something that was on his mind that he felt like he was going to humiliate himself at some point if he didn't have some knowledge. And I mean, he asked really very intricate questions, and I answered them without any shame or embarrassment, because this was just part of the giant lump of clay molding process. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted him to be confident in everything, and look what he's done in his career. I mean, he was with me all the time, all sports, everything resolved. He would call me when there was a trade in Major League Baseball. Guess what? There was just a big trade in baseball. I'd be at work. The White Sox traded, you know, a utility outfielder, Joe Schmo, to the Royals for their backup catcher. I was going, man, that's great, Case. So that's the kind of relationship we had. Now, my second one was a child of the internet. This is a kid who knew how to navigate around on electronics and still does to this day when he was 4 or 5 years old. I look at my grandson. We gave him the Nintendo Switch for his birthday, which is this kind of involved gaming system. In a half an hour, he's 4 years old. He's operating it himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need anybody to tell him what to do or what buttons to push. I mean, it's just amazing the technological skills. But my son Clayton never sought out my advice on any of this stuff, never asked me a question. Now he's in a serious relationship for only the second time in his life because he's been so independent. He's met a great girl now, and they're spending a lot of time together, and maybe this is actually going to be serious. But Clay is educated by the world, not by his dad, which is a really interesting correlation in my two sons, because to my recollection, we don't even talk about it now. We don't even joke about, about that, because he's like everything else. He's his own man, and he's pretty much self-taught. So I've had both experiences, but it's more based on the relationships at the time of childhood I had with both of my sons.
I think that for the most part, and I hope I speak for a lot of mothers and fathers out there, I think for the most part, it's obviously not it's not a discussion that it's not that we don't want to have it. And you can make it pretty black and white. I think it's important to provide the compassionate aspect of it and talk about the love part of it and let them know how important Absolutely. It is that you have a respect and you have a compassion and you have a love for that individual, and that it's okay to wait as long as you want. So you're with that right person. I think we wait for our children to do just what your kids did. And I think that is we wait for them to ask us. And that age where they start learning is the age where it ain't cool to ask mom and dad any questions anymore, because mom and dad are on the out, on the way out.
Yeah.
Until they start getting to 18, 19, then we're back on the way in, because then they hit another part of their life where they need our help, usually financial. And so we hope that they get around a group of guys that maybe are a little further along than they are, that they can learn from. And people are like, that's crazy. No, it's not. It's not. I could tell you a few times my son went to some, homecoming, some proms and stuff at his school. He went to Indian Springs, and for the most part, he'd never have a date, and all of his buddies did. And so these were really good kids, and they'd come over to the house. I knew who these kids were. I knew who their dads are. And so I kind of assumed that he was kind of learning from the best. And when he did tell me that he had gone all the way with this girl, it surprised me. But it did not surprise me that he came home crying one night and told me that he found her in the backseat of another car, at a dance. And I said, okay. And I thought, maybe he's learned. I'm sure it was a situation where he'd had no clue what he was doing. And she probably taught him the ropes. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is a really weird time, because I can't imagine. The internet, man, is just screwed so many things.
Oh, it's unbelievable how it's changed everything.
And I mean, I can go to ESPN right now, and I mean, it's not on their site, but it's based on what's been watched on my computer in the past. Maybe someone else has watched my computer, but stuff pops up. Obviously, if you're on porn sites and stuff, you're going to have things popping up. I'm down the street waiting on you, those type of chat things.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you don't, though, CBS Sportsline has a girl today. I mean, when I was 14, I remember going out to the mailbox when I was 15, and we got a Fredericks of Hollywood magazine in the mail.
Oh boy.
And it was not covered up. And I was like, and now I look back on that, I was 15. So this is 1981. I'm thinking to myself, and I never even thought for a second, why is it coming to our house? Because now that I know that it came to our house, and someone had to probably order something at my house in order to get this magazine, because so my mom and dad were, that's great. But I remember getting that thing, and that thing didn't find the mail. It found my room. It went to my room. It was in my underwear drawer. We all had a drawer where mom and dad, we had a bank, with a little turn thing where mom and dad couldn't get anything. I wore that thing out, or, the bra section of the Sears catalog, the JCPenney's, you go back and look at the bra section. I mean, and that's how it all got started. That's how it all got started. National Geographic in the library. I used to cut grass for a neighbor, and they had a whole stack of National Geographics, and every 5 minutes, man, the lawnmower would stop, and I'd go in the garage and I'd come back out, and I'd mow the grass for 5 minutes. I'd go back out. It'd take me all day to do a parcel of land.
Tony, I lived right across the street from my elementary school, and about twice a year they would do a gigantic paper drive. And you talk about gold. They would do it on a Saturday, so it would sit there till Monday. I spent hours perusing everything. I found more gems there than you could possibly imagine.
Porn. That's awesome.
Oh, it was at your fingertips by the bundle.
That's amazing.
My biggest problem was where to hide it so my mother wouldn't get it, and be ashamed and chastise me. But I came up with some very original hiding places. But that was high pressure, because you were living in fear all the time. You had this treasure trove of completely forbidden material, and what do you do with it when you're 12 or 13 years old?
And I remember too, and I mentioned the garage situation with the babysitter. Which was just like, that's straight out of a Porky's movie, right? I was like, don't you want me to take my top off? And I'm like, what? She was like, don't you want to see my boobs? And I'm like, and I was there with two other guys my age, and they're like, yeah, okay. And of course, every time it came, that garage door, man, came off the hinges, because it went up and down like 16 or 17 times, like I did. But I had a neighbor, we used to live in a rural area part of Westchester, Ohio. and we had about 3/4 acre behind our house and then another acre behind that. And then it was State Route 42. And so no one lived within earshot of our house. And we had the Crosbys that lived next door and they were a mess, man. They were jumping through plate windows and they were into drugs and a whole nine yards. But there was a girl There was a girl over there named Sherry, Sherry Crosby. I'll never forget it. She was about 3 or 4 years older than I was. And she'd go out there to lay out, you know, after school every day. And man, I got so much homework done that year.
Damn, you lived on the best street in America.
I'd take my dad's binoculars and I would open the window and I'd look at her and she'd be laying out there and she'd look both ways because she had undone her top and she'd get up and I would just be was the best thing in the world for me. It was like super, super cool. And, yeah, I would sit there and you know, my mom would go, boy, Anthony's really getting after it on his grades. He's back doing homework again. He's back.
Good for you, Anthony.
And I was like, you know, I'm only doing homework when it's sunny. I got news for it because when it rained, I didn't do a squat. But
I'm in a bad mood when it's storming.
No, but how we learned about things, and I want to thank Joey Mulberg. I've tried to find him on Facebook. I want to thank Joey Mulberg. If you're out there, Joey, thank you for teaching me everything that I ever needed to learn because he was a couple of years older than I was. And he taught me how to find it. He said, here's the most important part, Tone. Here's how you find it.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And he taught me how to find it. He's like, you're going to hit the wrong spot a couple of times.
But all the way to ninth grade, my friend Jim and I, that I've told you about, who was originally from Fort Thomas, Kentucky, in your neck of the woods up around Cincinnati. Jim had moved to Atlanta. We got there the same year. He and I were so into baseball cards and baseball, and we invented our own dice baseball game. We kept all these permanent files all the way through ninth grade. That's all we cared about. Then we met Mark Random, another friend of mine who you actually have met, was with us last year. We were shooting at Protective Stadium, my friend from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And Mark Random was already going out on dates in the 10th grade. Jim and I had not even spoken to anyone of the female persuasion. Random was dating juniors and he went out with some senior girls in 10th grade. He was so light years in front of us because he had an older brother and his next door neighbor was actually an Auburn football player after his high school career named Chris Linderman, who some people listening that are from yesteryear would remember. But Chris was a real role model kind of guy for him as well because Mark's dad was like in his 70s when Mark was born. So Harold Random was not going to distribute any information, but Mark was light years ahead of Jim and I, and just hanging around with him for a week or two completely changed our perspective 1,000%. So kudos to Mark Random for making that happen for us.
There are special people out there, man. I mean, there's special friends out there that thank goodness, because I was always around people that were older than me. When I was a freshman and sophomore in high school, I was going to junior and senior proms, and it was all through church. I was meeting girls through the Catholic Youth Organization, and I never went to my own things. And then afterwards, you know, I started spinning records at these proms and stuff in these high schools when I got out and started going to college. But it was so good to have that one friend, you know, that was a little advanced for their age, and they could kind of teach you some things. And thank goodness they were like, what's wrong with you? That's not how you do it. They would actually be compassionate in how they would teach you how to do things. And again, back then, all you worried about was making someone pregnant. I mean, that's, you know,
That's right.
I don't know too many guys that hadn't gone through oh my gosh, she's late. You know, that's scary, scary proposition. So, very interesting talk, man. I always wondered about that kind of stuff, and I always love to get the thoughts of other individuals and how they go through it, because that question coming from my 12-year-old daughter, I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. Here we go.
Well, I think you'll agree with this. One of the great secrets of really good parenting is to just always encourage your kids, and especially this is important if they ever get in trouble. I mean, I can't tell you how much my heart aches when I hear some, you know, 16-year-olds or 17-year-old kid has committed suicide because they feel that desperate of being outcast or having no place to go. The fact that that line of communication isn't open with their parents is just absolutely tragic. Yep. And it's not the kid's responsibility to establish that. If you have children, it's your responsibility that, look, nothing you're going to say to me is going to diminish my love for you one speck, but you need to talk to me if you're in trauma or trouble or don't know something, anything I can do, keeping that line of communication always open, always having time for your kids. That is your sacred responsibility. And I'm not blaming anybody for anything terrible that happens, but I just wonder how many of those are communication breakdowns where if that's established early and completely reemphasized as often as possible, I think your kids are going to grow up to be happier and healthier and more adjusted human beings with your input and not some other kid at school or the internet.
Amen, brother. And we just saw it, didn't we, with a 14-year-old taking the lives of four individuals. And I'm like, where's the dad at? And I'm like,
he gave him the gun for Christmas after telling after this kid threatened people online last year that he might just do a school shooting. The FBI had him on their radar. They went and interviewed him and his dad last summer.
The mom called the school.
He didn't have access. No. Yeah. He doesn't have access to any guns. I've got hunting guns and he goes hunting with me, but then he gives him an AR-15 for Christmas. Yeah. I mean, that's just insanity.
Yeah.
And the dad, as you know, Tony, has been charged now with second degree murder and manslaughter. And the judge, I saw the arraignment there. The judge says, on these charges, the maximum sentence is 180 years. So maybe this is how we get to the bottom of this, where, I mean, I just can't believe you can have that bad a judgment and call yourself a father.
Amen, brother. I appreciate you. Hey, great job. But looking forward to doing the show, ABC 3340. We are going to have some guests. I texted you. We're going to have Teresa Autry. She's going to join us from Exit Realty. And then next Thursday, we're either going to have Tim Brando or Taylor Hicks. Taylor's in town, so I'm trying to get him to stop by the studio. So if we have Taylor next Thursday, we'll have Tim the following Thursday, or vice versa. But so we got some great guests coming up, and of course, we're going to be doing. I think we did pretty. You nailed your upset of the week, correct?
Yeah,
you know, Iowa State.
Iowa State Cyclones.
I nailed my upset of the week with San Jose State. They win the game outright, so we got that done. Did I get my play of the week because of Butch Jones? It's the last time I did that. And certainly my UAB Blazers laid a big golden turd with only 6 points the first half, too. I don't know what's going on with their offense.
I'm looking forward to hearing your discussions with the fellas. What is going on there?
Yeah, but we'll have some more college football talk, and we'll get ready for the next game coming up on ABC 3340. Until then, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you a little bit.
All right, Tone.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.